do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And your English will improve today. Today we are saying goodbye. Well, no, not really. We're saying hello to everybody. But our lesson is called Saying Goodbye. Of course, over the last couple of months, you've gotten to learn with Ben and his Uncle Bob as we learn about Ben's business. Of course, over the months, he has hired people to come work for him. In today's lesson, we're going to learn about maybe one of his employees having to say goodbye. I don't know what's going to happen, but he has to say goodbye. He might be leaving the company. Well, what kind of job do you have? Have you ever had to say goodbye to a company you were working for, Carolyn?
Well, actually, I have, Gabe. I've had several jobs in the past, and when you have more than one job, that means that you had to say goodbye to the previous one. So before I came to Taiwan, I worked in a restaurant for a while because I was in school, and I had to say goodbye to my coworkers and that workplace.
Well, Carolyn, was it easy or difficult to say goodbye to your friends there?
Well, it was difficult to say goodbye to my friends, but I was very excited to be coming to Taiwan.
Well, I'm happy you're here as well. Friends, what about you? Have you ever had to say goodbye or quit working somewhere? Let's learn something new in our lesson today, saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye. Losing employees can be tough.
Hey, Uncle Bob, I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you too, Ben. You look tired. Are you sleeping okay?
No. I've been having a rough time lately.
What seems to be the problem?
I'm losing one of my best employees, Terry. It's not really a problem, I guess. It's more of an annoyance.
But it's still keeping you up at night.
Right. He's been with the company for less than 6 months, and by leaving, he's depriving me of a great worker.
Hello, listeners. This is your Word Lady, Ellen. In this month's business article, we're joining Ben and Uncle Bob as they discuss losing a good employee. Before we begin, let's take a look at our vocabulary. Annoyance. Annoyance is a noun. Those bugs are real annoyance. Deprive. Deprive is a verb. The storm deprived me of internet service. Resentment. Resentment is a noun. She feels resentment toward her brother because of the mean things he said. Clause. Clause is a noun. There is a clause in this contract that I can't agree to. Let's jump right in to our article.
All right, well, let's go back to the beginning of our lesson here today. We read something here. Losing employees can be tough. And Ben is going to be losing one of his best employees here, as we find out in the conversation. Well, what is Ben's first line? And Carolyn, would you like to be Ben today?
Oh, sure. I can be Ben today. He seems like a very important character.
Of course.
Yes, he says, "Hey, Uncle Bob, I'm glad to see you."
I'm glad to see you too, Ben. You look tired. Are you sleeping okay? Now, let me just interrupt myself and this conversation. Are you tired? Or you look tired. Are you sleeping okay? Now, Carolyn, do you like it when anybody says you look tired?
I do not really like it when people tell me that I look tired. Because if I feel tired, I don't want to look tired.
Exactly. I feel the same way. However, Ben and Uncle Bob have a very good relationship. Of course, Uncle Bob is concerned about Ben. So he says this, "You look tired. Are you sleeping okay?"
Well, that shows how concerned he is for his nephew. Now, when Ben said his first line, he said, "Hey, hey." Well, I think we should say hey to Steve and Ken in the information cloud.
Hey, friends, good to see you again. Welcome to the info cloud.
Steve, you just said hey, friends. Don't you usually say hi, friends, or hello, friends?
I do, Ken, but today I felt like being more casual. That's why I said hey instead of hi.
I know it's very common for young people to say hey to a friend rather than hi, but if we're meeting someone for the first time, especially someone much older than us, then we should probably not say hey.
You're right, Ken. That would be impolite. That would be considered impolite. So in that situation, say hi or hello.
Now, a related topic is how to greet someone when we're writing an email. Traditionally, the word dear is used. But nowadays, it's very common to see people use hi, hello, and even hey.
I know some people feel the word dear is old-fashioned and out of date. But in your initial correspondence with someone you've never met, it's still a good idea to use dear.
After you've established a relationship with the person, you can then switch to hi or hello.
Also, be sure to include the person's name along with your greeting. Don't just write hi, but write hi, Ken, or even hi, Mr. Lee, if Ken hasn't given you permission to use his first name.
But with friends, you may be as informal as you like.
When I email Ken, I usually write, "Yo, man, what's up?
Hey, peace, bro." 当我们遇见朋友要跟他打招呼，除了说 hello 跟 hi， 也可以说 hey。就像今天课文一开始 ，Ben 见到 Uncle Bob 就说 "Hey, Uncle Bob." Hey 是一个非正式、很口语的打招呼。但是要注意的是，当我们第一次跟某人见面，尤其是一位长者，最好避免用 hey， 那样会让人觉得不礼貌。那我们写信或写 email 时，如果你跟对方已经很熟了，也可以用 hi、hey 或是 hello 当作信的开头，但还是要记得写对方的名字，比如说 hi Steve、hello Michelle、hey Gabe。那如果你是首次跟某人通信，还是用传统的 dear 某某人比较妥当。等你跟他比较熟了以后，再改用 hi 或是 hey。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, guys. Well, hey, let's continue with this conversation between Uncle Bob and Ben. I believe it's Ben's line.
Yes, yes. So Uncle Bob had asked if I was sleeping okay. No, I've been having a rough time lately.
Aw, that's too bad. That's why he's not sleeping okay. He's been having a rough time lately. Let's take a look at that word rough. Now, there's another word similar to it.Right next to our title, the word tough. Losing employees can be tough. Life is rough. Life can sometimes be tough. Sometimes these words can mean a similar thing.
That's right. They have very similar meanings. Both mean that something is difficult. But usually if I hear the word rough, I think that there are lots of problems that keep coming up. Tough just means that something is really hard. But rough means that it's hard and there are lots of problems.
All right, so is anything rough in your life? Maybe you're having a tough time at work with some kind of situation. All right, so there are different ways and places in life that you can use these words. Or maybe someone thinks that your job is actually kind of easy compared to theirs. They might say, "You think you have it rough? Well, look at my job. I have it even more rough."
That's right. Well, Uncle Bob, you have the next line.
All right. What does he say? Well, what seems to be the problem? It's a good question to ask if you're concerned for someone. What seems to be the problem?
Well, I'm losing one of my best employees, Terry. It's not really a problem, I guess.
Well, hang on a second there, Carolyn. Ben. Ben says that he is losing one of his best employees. When I think of losing, I think of maybe playing a game, and there's a winner, and there's a loser. But is that what he means here?
No, that is not what he means. He means that one of his employees is leaving. He won't be working at the company anymore.
But he says it's not really a problem, I guess. Well, let's take a look at that phrase, I guess, in the grammar gym. Liz has something she wants to share about that.
How are you doing today, friends? My name is Liz, and thanks for joining me here at the Grammar Gym. We see this sentence in today's article. It's not really a problem, I guess. That's our grammar tip sentence, and today we're focusing on the phrase at the end of the sentence, I guess. Normally, when we guess, we're not sure about something, like if you don't know the answer, you can just guess. But in today's sentence, I guess has a different meaning. The speaker starts out by saying, it's not really a problem, but then adds, I guess, at the end of the sentence. Here, I guess means that the speaker is not really sure about what was just said. In other words, we can say, I suppose it's not really a problem. This use of I guess at the end of the sentence is usually in informal conversations. For example, I'm not sure what the plan is for this evening, but we can go watch a movie, I guess. Or, it's strange how Karen just started crying. She must be upset about something, I guess. If you'd like to see some more example sentences, then check out today's Grammar Tips section for more examples. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. See you next time.
Thank you, Liz. Now, Ben continues with his line, it's not really a problem, I guess. It's more of an annoyance.
An annoyance? Let's take a look at that word from our word bank. Well, if something is an annoyance, that means it kind of bothers you, or it annoys you in some way.
That's right. So, if you are studying, loud noises might be an annoyance. They prevent you from doing your work.
Okay, well, what annoys you? When do you feel annoyed about something? There are different forms of this word, annoyance. Well, how does this continue? Uncle Bob says, but it's still keeping you up at night. Let's take a look at that phrase, to keep you up at night. Well, what keeps you up at night? What does that mean, Carolyn?
Well, it means that something is bothering you. You really can't stop thinking about it. And maybe it's not really keeping you up at night, but it's on your mind and you can't think about anything else.
That's right. And of course, maybe it doesn't really keep you awake at night, but in Ben's situation, actually, he can't sleep because it is keeping him up at night. Well, what does Ben say to this?
He says, right. He's been with the company for less than 6 months, and by leaving, he's depriving me of a great worker.
Well, he's being deprived of a great worker, but we are going to learn something new right now from the word deprive. If you are deprived of something, that means you lost it. It was taken away from you.
That's right. So, don't deprive your friends of your smile.
Yes.
Go join them, have fun together, and smile.
And sometimes you might feel like you're deprived of important things, like sleep. Sometimes people say they are sleep deprived. Maybe Ben is sleep deprived as well. He needs more sleep. Right now, we need to go and join Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 首先我们看的是 annoyance 这个名词。Annoyance 在这里是指使人讨厌或烦恼的人或事物。例如 mosquitoes are such an annoyance. 蚊子真的很烦人。或者是 Susan thinks dealing with customers is an annoyance. Susan 认为和客户打交道是一件很麻烦的事。它的动词是 annoy, A-N-N-O-Y, 意思是指打搅或干扰。例如 my sister's snoring really annoys me. 我姐姐的打呼声真的很吵。 继续我们看的是 deprive 这个动词。deprive 是指剥夺或者是使失去。如果要说明剥夺什么的话，是用 of 这个介系词。例如 Jessica thinks her parents deprive her of her freedom. Jessica 认为她的父母剥夺了她的自由。或者是 Our competitor has deprived us of our most outstanding salesperson. 我们的竞争者抢走了我们最杰出的推销员。
Today our lesson is about saying goodbye, and losing good employees can be very tough. Ben is having a rough time because one of his best employees is going to be leaving, and it's depriving him of a great worker. All of this stress is keeping him up at night, so he's asking Uncle Bob for some advice on this situation. Let's continue reading and listening to this conversation.
Saying goodbye.
He's also creating a lot more work for you. Now you'll have to retrain people or get a replacement for him.
Exactly. It makes me wonder if I shouldn't have all my employees sign contracts or something.
Contracts don't keep employees from leaving, Ben. And if you aren't careful, they can cause a lot of resentment.
I can see that. But if contracts don't keep employees from leaving, why do so many companies use them?
One reason is that contracts can help keep your employees from leaving to work for your competitors.
How do they do that?
Many contracts include a clause that prevents employees from working for a competitor for a period of time.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning of this section. Uncle Bob, he says here, he's also creating a lot more work for you. Okay, so Terry is going to leave. He's depriving Ben of a great worker. Terry is that great worker. Uncle Bob says he's creating a lot more work for you. Now, usually creating is a good thing, but as we can see here, this is kind of a negative thing, to create more work for somebody.Uncle Bob says, now you'll have to retrain people or get a replacement for him.
And that is a lot more work. If you have responsibilities, you want to make sure that you fulfill them so that you don't make more work for other people.
Exactly. So, what does Ben say? Exactly. Wait, that's your line, Caroline.
Yes, Gabe, that is my line. Exactly. It makes me wonder if I shouldn't have all my employees...sign contracts or something.
It makes me wonder about something. That's a good phrase to know. Well, Uncle Bob says contracts don't keep employees from leaving, Ben. And if you aren't careful, they can cause a lot of resentment.
They certainly can cause a lot of resentment, and that is a word from our word bank.Resentment is a very unhappy feeling that occurs when you feel like someone has done something wrong to you or that you haven't been treated fairly.
That's right. So you might start to resent that person. That's the verb form. What do you resent? Or what causes resentment in your life? For my life, what causes resentment is when I don't know how to say no.Up front, right away, when I need to. It's important to know how to say no to people. Because if you just say, okay, yeah, sure, do whatever you want, then later you will start to feel resentment towards people because you didn't know how to say no in the first place.
That's right. So having employees sign contracts can cause some resentment. Maybe they feel like you don't trust them as an employee. And Ben continues, I can see that.But if contracts don't keep employees from leaving, why do so many companies use them?
That's a very good question, Ben. Lots of companies, of course, use contracts. You have to sign one as soon as you enter the workplace. Well, Uncle Bob says, One reason is that contracts can help keep your employees from leaving to work for your competitors. So, of course, if you need to leave, that's okay, but you might go and work for a competitor. What is a competitor, Carolyn?
Well, that is someone that you are competing against. So, Ben has his company that makes apps. So, if any of his employees decide to leave and work for another company that makes apps, then they have gone to work for one of his competitors.
All right. So, did you have to sign a contract like this when you started working at your company? Well, what does Ben say here?
Well, he asks, how do they do that?
How do they do what? Well, Uncle Bob says many contracts include a clause that prevents employees from working for a competitor for a period of time. Okay, so there's something within the contract that says you can't work for a competitor for a certain amount of time. Let's take a look at this word from our word bank, this word clause. Now, Carolyn, what is a clause?
Well, it's an official statement that is included in a legal document like a contract that states something very clearly. And it usually prevents you from doing something or requires you to do something.
And so a contract might have all sorts of clauses. Things like rules. They tell you what you can and cannot do, what you should expect about the company or about working for the company. Now, this particular clause prevents employees from working for a competitor for a period of time after you quit. I know that a lot of companies are like this. I know that Studio Classroom is also like this. We had to sign that kind of contract.
That's right. But maybe you had to sign a contract when you rented your house or your apartment. Maybe there was a clause that said, no pets allowed. You may not have any pets in this apartment.
I know many places that have that rule. Well, I think it's time for us now to learn something new with Michelle in the Language Lab.
好，继续我们看的是 resentment 这个不可数名词，注意它的 s 是发 z 的音，念成 resentment。resentment 是指愤慨或者是怨恨。例如 ，George hid his resentment toward his parents。George 把对父母的怨恨藏在心里面。它的动词是 resent，R-E-S-E-N-T。例如 ，Fanny resents the hypocrisy found in politics。Fanny 痛恨存在于政治圈里面的虚伪。所以我们看的是 clause 这个名词 clause 在这里是指条款或款项例如 there's a clause in the contract that entitles the buyers to a refund if there are defects 合约中有一个条款允许买方可以在货品有瑕疵的时候获得退款 clause 也指文法结构中的子句例如 the sentence contains an adverb clause 这个句子里面包含了一个副词子句 Well, it's time to go back to our teachers
Well, in our conversation today, Ben and Uncle Bob have been talking about Terry, one of Ben's best employees who is quitting. He has to leave the job for some reason. Uncle Bob did suggest that maybe Ben has a contract that he has his employees sign. Well, of course, if you go to work at a company, you might have to sign a contract. But that's only one kind of contract. Can you think of other kinds of contracts you might have to look at and sign in life? What other kinds of contracts are there?
Well, earlier I mentioned that if you want to rent a house or an apartment, you need to sign a contract, some sort of leasing agreement. Mm-hmm. And if you get married, you are making a contract with another person that you are going to be with them for the rest of your lives.
Well, that is a pretty serious and important contract. Friends, what other kinds of contracts can you think about? Talk about them in English. And of course, we will see you next time to learn more with Ben and Uncle Bob right here at Studio Classroom.
See you.
I am so proud to have you in my life, a good friend. Last a lifetime.